few possessions.
Yeah, so we will see what happens on Wednesday. That is game two, 8:30, game three. The first game here in New Orleans will be at the Smoothie King Center on Saturday at 2:30. Lots of action in and around the NBA playoffs. He got games here as well tonight. And you had a full slate of games on Saturday and Sunday, which we'll go over with Leo here shortly. And some things that stood out. We got Magic and Cavaliers going at it tonight. 6 o'clock NBA TV. TNT's got two games. 76 and the Knicks at 6:30. You got the Lakers and the Nuggets coming up at 9 o'clock. So three games tonight in the NBA playoffs. Leo, as always, appreciate the time, sir. How are you today?
Gus, I'm sitting here at the Louis Armstrong Airport in New Orleans. I got a little bit of layover, so I head to Florida. So, figured I'd spend it with you guys.
There you go. Give me a wave, man, when you fly on over. Look, man, it is here, NFL draft week, and I opened up the show by saying, hey, look, I think it's a very relaxing sort of thing for Thursday in terms of here the Saints. It's offensive lineman. Like, I don't know what kind of intrigue this is going to be. You know, I'm like, I'm not even really looking at other positions. It's like, top offensive lineman. That's what it's going to be. Second pick, probably another offensive lineman or best player available, receiver, whatever. There's a lot of different areas. How you're based out of Tampa. You cover the NFC South. What is Tampa looking at in the draft here?
Oh, they're looking for an offensive lineman as well, Gus. And it's either offensive lineman or edge rusher. And again, I learned my craft from a man by the name of Carmen Perone. He was the head scout for the New Orleans Saints. And I had a chance to work with him with Arlat Scouting Service. And he told me, you work from the ball out. And he is so right. The Bucs need an offensive lineman. They need an edge rusher. I think they're going to go one way or the other that way.
Okay. When you look at Atlanta, now they got a pick there at 8. Everyone has Dallas Turner, right? They have a bit. They have the Bama guy already, and probably already started fitting him with the jersey. There's only one problem. Do they have the pick? Adam Schefter today said that the league is looking at punishing them for the Kirk Cousins tampering thing. He says, quote, sources believe the discipline, which is likely to involve draft picks, is expected to be more severe for the Falcons than, say, some of the other situations that have happened, like the Dolphins and the Chiefs forfeiting some picks and some cash. Now, I guess my question to you, Leo, is it's Monday. Are they going to take away this year's draft pick? Like, if I'm the Falcons, can you let me know if I'm even showing up on Thursday or not? You know what I'm saying? Like, when do you think we're going to find that out? And should it be this year's first round pick?
Oh, absolutely not, because of the proximity of the draft. If you're going to do this, you needed to do this 2 weeks ago. You didn't need to do it 3 days before the draft and drop this bombshell on a team. You know, now, if they did something, fine. But get them next year and get them good. You know, let them know, okay, you're losing your number one, you're losing your number two, whatever you're losing. But don't do it now. I mean, dear Lord, that's crazy.
No, not at all. I think that's absolutely fair, and it should happen. Signed, Saints fan. I want it right now. Actually, you know what? Tell them Thursday, 5:55 p.m. Central Time, right before the draft starts. How about that? That'd be great.
Oh, that yeah. You. Hey, that would be the lead story on the Alphabet Network. That's for sure. But you know what? While we're on the Saints, and let's stay there. The fact that they're looking at offensive linemen and the good offensive linemen are going to fall down the board because you're going to see a run on quarterbacks and wide receivers. I just think that's going to happen simply because of the teams that need quarterbacks and wide receivers and the ability of those up there. Now, there's a little bit of stretch at the you know, 4, 5, and 6 at quarterback.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of mistakes being made by people. And I don't know if there's been misinformation or information put out. That's the hardest thing.
Right.
You got to try to sift through that. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be good offensive linemen hanging there for the Saints.
Interesting because the Saints pick at 14, Leo, and at 13's the Raiders, at 12's the Broncos, at 11 are the Vikings. Those are three teams that absolutely want a quarterback, right? I mean, that's a fact. You want those. The Bears are taking a quarterback. The Redskins Washington are taking a quarterback. The Patriots would probably take a quarterback. That the Giants were like, I just named seven teams in the first 13 picks. How many quarterbacks do you think really, do you think Penix and Nix, do you think those, any of those teams reach for those guys?
Well, one, I don't think Penix is a reach. That's me. But I think you're going to see four go in the top 10. I think you're going to see, you know, Washington. You're going to see New England. You're going to see Chicago all take quarterback. Now, okay, who they take, that's interesting, you know, because everybody, if I'm the Bears, if Caleb Williams is my guy, I'm not waiting till Thursday. I'm telling them, hey, it's you right now. Let's start negotiating. Let's figure this out. You know, I don't know why they're waiting on this, but again, the three teams in front of the Saints, because you hit the nail on the head there. They only need quarterbacks. That's going to be six before the Saints pick. Think about that now. That's going to drop down. The Saints are going to be picking, and there's going to be guys on their board that they're going to rate probably 6 and 10, and they're picking a 6. It's going to be a it's going to get to be a Donnybrook after the Raiders pick, because I'll tell you what, there's going to be some people calling to say, hey, you want to trade that pick and move back down? For what? I think you're going to see a plethora of trades between 15 and 25.
How about 3 and 4? I mean 4 and 5. You got the Cardinals, you got the Chargers. Neither of those teams need, you know, obviously quarterbacks. You mean the Chargers, man, I mean, there's Marvin Harrison Jr. You could take a top defensive player, you could take the best tackle to protect Herbert. If you're the Cards, you need some talent there. Kyler Murray's your quarterback. But I guess what I'm saying is 4 and 5 spots that you do see, whether it's the Giants move up one, whether it's the Vikings move to 5, whether it's one of those other teams that move up, the Raiders. Like, do you think 4 and 5 is where it's going to go?
Gus, you are seeing into my crystal ball, because the Cardinals and the Chargers, they all need multiple picks. They're going to try to move down the board. They're going to try to move down to 10, 11, 12, right in that area, which is the Raiders, the Vikings, and the Broncos.
Yeah.
It's a perfect fit for them to move up and for those guys to get multiple picks. This is the year, if you don't need a quarterback, you're going to be able to wheel and deal.
Yeah. And I also think you can get some good players there in, you know, in that area there as well. I think they'll be available. Leo, we've got about 4 minutes left. I do want to go through the NBA playoffs here. Let's just go through the weekend. Start on Saturday. Start with Magic Cavaliers. Just give me a take on that.
Again, the Cavaliers have been there before. The Magic haven't. And again, that's the biggest thing is, we're finding out, is the home team won every game in the playoffs. That's amazing.
Yeah. I think if you're the Suns, you go, uh-oh. Anthony Edwards, 33 points. Kevin Durant at 31. He lost 120-95. T-Wolves are good, man.
They are. In fact, you know, everybody talks about nobody plays defense in the NBA. The T-Wolves were the one that hit the high point, 120. Now, think about that. There were two games that were under 100 points for both teams.
Yeah.
There were six games that were under 110. So, yeah. You're starting to see teams, when they get to the playoffs, they're going to start to defend a little bit more than the regular season.
Yeah, no doubt. That officiating kind of swallows their whistles a little bit here as well, as the late game Lakers and Nuggets. Denver did win that. Game two is tonight. Denver had 6 total free throws. AD had 32 points. Look, gas at the end of that game. Jokic had 32 points, but they won 114-103, a 9th straight win over the Lakers. Is that series over if LA doesn't win tonight?
I think it's over anyway, Gus. I think the most it's going to go is 5. Because I think Denver's going to win tonight. L.A. will win 1 in L.A. if they're lucky. And then it'll come back to Denver for game 5 and then the sayonara Lakers.
Yeah, I don't know how the Knicks and 76ers series goes pretty far in that the Knicks win 111-104. Josh Hart had 22 points, 13 rebounds, solid night. But it's the injuries, man. If Embiid's going to be battling or even playing Tyrese Maxey, I mean, those are the top two players. If that's the case, maybe a gentleman's sweep, if not a sweep.
If Embiid and Maxey can't play, that's not good. Yeah, and you got two teams that going into that team. The Sixers had won 8 in a row. The Knicks had won 4 in a row. So you got the two in the NBA playing against each other. And believe me, they don't like each other, and it's a physical series. You saw that yesterday. So, yeah, if Embiid and Maxey doesn't play, it's going to be a short stint for the Sixers, that's for sure.
Celtics beat the Heat 114-94. I think everyone's just kind of saying, you know, how long is it going to take the Celtics to get into the Eastern Conference Finals in terms of if they're going to lose any games? So let's go to the Mavericks and Clippers there. Harden had 28. Luka had 33. But they had an 8-point second quarter in that game. 22 points, 8 points, 34 and 33 in the third and fourth quarter. How surprising was that second quarter?
Oh, it's amazing. Kyrie and you got Luka. Kyrie only scored 8 points with those two guys. you got to try to not score with 8 points. So, yeah, it was just amazing to see that happen. Because, Doug, you and I talked about this the other day. That's the series we think is going to be in the 120s, 130s, maybe 140s.
Yeah.
Because of all the offensive firepower on both teams.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the other one was the Bucks and the Pacers. Shockingly, Dame time, 35 points for him. Siakam had 36 for the Pacers there, 109-94. I think that could turn into a pretty interesting series.
Yeah, it can, because, again, you see it knocked into 100 points. That's telling me that, you know, Doc Rivers is finally getting that message across to the Bucks that, hey, you know, we need to defend. We keep a team under 100. We can score 110. We can score 120. We just got to keep teams under that century mark. And I'll tell you what, Milwaukee's got some pieces. And if they get those pieces running the right way, you know, you got Middleton, you got Dane, you got the Greek Freak. That's a hell of a trio to work with.
Okay. Leo, safe travels, man. Like I said, wave when you head on over the house over here. And we will talk to you again on Friday after the first round of the NFL draft, if you can believe it.
Absolutely, Gus. Hey, if anything crazy stops, wait, maybe we'll do Thursday, too. You know how that works.
I hear you, man. Take care, buddy. Appreciate it. That's Mr. Leo Haggerty, Amped Up Sports Thursday. Don't forget, I'll be over at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Should be a lot of fun out there. Weather looks like it's going to be good so far. So keep your fingers crossed for that. As round one is Thursday, round two is Friday. Always a fun time. You got the draft going on as well. And again, Saturday's game three of the Thunder and Pelicans. You also have Jazz Fest going on, so a lot of things are going on over the weekend here as well. Quick break, Rafael Esparza next on ESPN New Orleans. That's VSI. Doc Sports is the way to give a follow. Rafael Esparza, sir, how are you today?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to hanging out with you at some point over the next couple of days, sir. We got a lot to get into, and I do appreciate you sending me a screen capture of, what was it? Like something like 285 page breakdown of the draft, but we don't have time for that. We'll do that later. Let's get to the fight, man. My timeline was blowing up with the Garcia fight. The refs are cheating. Garcia's blowing it. Another knockdown. Did I kind of cover the fight there?
Yeah, I would think the ref was a little bit one-sided. You can say that. I totally understand why he took a point away from Garcia, but if you want to look at that, I mean, there's a lot of holding in there. A lot of when Garcia knocked him down, he gave some extra time. Well, we'll put it in that case for Haney. But it was interesting. I mean, I fell for it. I thought maybe what I was hearing that Garcia was out drinking like almost every night. I still believe he's got mental issues because if you watched his interview after the fight,
what was I've been that? Telling
people, there was three people in the ring with him. There was three Garcias that did that interview. I don't know if, I mean, we all know he does have some learning disabilities. He's not shy of mentioning that. But wow, there was three Garcias in that interview after the fight.
Man, what happened from like 2-3 years ago? You're like, man, this guy could be one of the up and coming guys, the YouTube sensation, you know, on social media, the showing the bag speed. Next thing you know, it's one tattoo. And I'm not saying that's the thing. It's just kind of like he became a whole different person, man. Now he's conspiracy theory guy, UFOs, trying to kill me. I mean, like, Wow. I mean, is it hits to the head? What's going on?
I don't know. Well, first of all, he doesn't get hit in the head that often. Second of all, I think a lot of it has to do with pressure. I mean, the day of age of social media. I mean, people can't take negativity, so they look at it differently. So I think it's a little bit of that generation. I mean, I know people probably get mad. Hey, I'm in that generation, but that generation of what Garcia and my generation is two totally different generations. I still think there's something mentally, and I'm not saying this to make fun of him. I hope he gets help. I follow him on social media. Some stuff he does really good. Some stuff is like, whoa. If he does have some issues, I hope he's getting help, because I hate to see something bad happen to anybody, except Floyd Mayweather. I don't know. He gets something bad can happen in Tiger Woods.
Stop it. Moving on. The NBA playoffs, sir. We do have some games tonight we can get into. But just your overall take from what you saw on Saturday and Sunday in the world of gambling, how often do all of the home teams win? Did all the NHL home win teams win, too,
I saw? Yep, I think they're 16-0, I think it is, in NBA and NHL. It's crazy. I mean, we've seen a lot of unders in the NBA playoffs, especially last night with your Pels, which that game right there showed me 10 freshman high schoolers playing against seniors in college. There's a lot of hesitance, a lot of bad shots. You could tell both teams were nervous from the get-go. So it was some pretty bad basketball. Hats off to the Pelicans. I mean, keeping this game close, they should have had that win. Mm-hmm. But hats off to them. But yeah, it's been some bad basketball so far in the NBA. A lot of blow-offs, except last night's game.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that Winnipeg Jets and Colorado Avalanche might have had more points than the Pels and Thunder game?
17-17 was the score after one, and then 43-43 at halftime. I don't know, but when you look at those games, too, injuries are a big topic. I know over here we're looking at it with Zion, but Embiid in and out. I mean, does he even play anymore? Tyrese Maxey, you know, Giannis is out. I mean, you have a lot of big names. You know, Butler is injured. I mean, there's just a lot of names that maybe have an effect on that, you think?
Yes, but here you go. I've had this conversation with you. That's just bad management and bad practice for these teams who do not prepare their bench role players. I mean, I know they're role players, but anything can happen. Those guys should be able to step in, at least give you 10, 12 points off the bench. I know, again, they're not used to playing. Then why are they there? If you're not dressing them, if you're not playing them at spots you should play them, then that's your fault for not preparing all your guys on the bench to step up if someone goes down. So I can't say, yes, the stars are going down. It maybe affects some points, but maybe you should practice your role players to when they're ready to come in, that they can contribute instead of just running around doing picks and trying to have other guys just force shots up.
Yeah. I think that is something that that will stand out, you know, moving forward here as well. All right, so look, I can hear him now. He's hold on, let me give him a second to open it up. Come on, get off the word search, Chef Scotty. It's time to make some picks here. Let's get to today's action. Game number one, Magic and Cavaliers. Cleveland 5.5-point favorite here. Can the Magic steal game two, or is this 2-0 Cleveland?
I think they'll keep it close. I like the plus points. It was 5.5 earlier. Now it's pretty much fives all around. I think the Magic can keep this one close. I'm hoping for close games in the NBA. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. 76ers and Knicks, 6:30 on TNT. Again, this is kind of one of those, do the Sixers even win a game if Embiid and Maxey are injured?
Yeah, I'm all on the Knicks on this one, so give me New York minus the 5.5. This one will move all the way up to 6 or even higher, so I will hurry up and grab the number because I think the public's going to see the same thing. Give me New York.
Well, sir, it was called the Western Conference Finals back on Saturday. Now it's called over. If you put on any of the sports news shows this morning, from First Take to Skip Bayless to you name it, Lakers and Nuggets, this game is a 7.5-point favorite by Denver. Now 9 straight over L.A. AD looked gassed. He's upset he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year. All of that to say, are the Lakers cooked?
First of all, we should not be even mentioning the Lakers. And Nuggets, why don't we mention in Minnesota, who might have the best NBA player in years past, but we have to be force-fed to watching and talking about the Lakers and Nuggets
yes.
and stuff like that. But Minnesota, great game last week. I like the Lakers plus the points in this one. I'm not saying they're going to steal this one, but I do believe they keep this one close. I actually like LeBron James' total points over at 25.5. I think he's going to come out just bulldozing people and putting up some points to try to steal this game, too.
Do you have a prop bet of like 30 free throws over under? Because they're going over 30 free throws today. That's one way to not get tired, because they constantly stop the play. That way AD can catch his breath. You know what I'm saying?
I understand you making fun of the Lakers' free throws, but the Lakers are one of the least amount of three-point shots in the NBA. Not like your pals who are constantly chucking up threes left and right, and no wonder why they don't shoot that many free throws. Go to the hoop, people.
All right, moving on. Tomorrow, Suns and T-Wolves, Minnesota, 3.5-point favorite here.
Here's another one. I think KD got embarrassed yesterday by the young pup. I think KD has a big game. I think they steal game two. I'll take Phoenix.
Bucks. Only a 1.5-point favorite here? Only a 1.5-point favorite tomorrow against the Pacers?
Yeah, this one's Indiana could have. I mean, they put it down to 12, and then just Dame Time just kept on going off. Another team that shoots a lot of threes. I'm waiting to see how high this one goes. If I can get two or higher, I might take the Pacers on this one. Because I just can't think Milwaukee's going to shoot the three-point shot that hot game after game.
Mavericks and Clippers, Dallas 2.5-point favorites in this one. Dallas had an 8-point second quarter. I just look at that, I'm like, that's not going to happen again, right? So I'm going Dallas.
Yeah, I kind of like Dallas too. They were ice cold as well in this one. Again, everyone's like, oh, Dallas barely went to the free throw line. Clippers say, well, shoot. Stop shooting threes, people. Or quit complaining about, we're not at the free throw line when your team's chucking up 50 threes a game.
Hey, is there any way we can move the game Wednesday to 6 o'clock? Because the Heat and the Celtics, that's a Boston win. I mean, or can the Heat? Well, no. It's the points. 14.5-point favorite Boston for Wednesday.
Yeah, I thought that at least put the Pelicans, Oakland, maybe the same time. Because no one's going to be watching the Miami-Boston game. The gentleman's sweep in Miami and Boston.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Pelicans.
Right now, on Wednesday, the Thunder, who were 8.5-point favorites yesterday, are now 7.5-point favorites for that 8:30 game, game two on Wednesday.
The sad part is I thought New Orleans should have had millions of chances to close that game out and steal game one. You figure, I don't think OKC is going to play that bad. I think SGA is going to have a better game this game around. I kind of like OKC. I know people are going to be mad at this one, but I think the Pelicans had their shot of stealing a road game, and I thought it was game one. I think home court to OKC. I'm not going to lay 7.5, but it would not shock me if OKC goes up game two. I always thought Pelicans would win game three, so.
All right. Raphael, one NFL question. Just one. Can you give me one?
No.
Just one. What's the money say? How many quarterbacks going in the first round?
Over, under 4.5. I see 5. And if J.J. McCarthy goes number 2, which is a lot of grumbling, or even a third quarterback, I will never, ever watch an NFL draft, ever, if that happens. If he goes 2 or 3, J.J. McCarthy, not saying I hate Michigan, not saying I hate J.J. McCarthy, whatever. But if he goes 2 or 3 in the NBA,
you're boycotting?
I will never.
You're boycotting?
Never watch it.
Okay. No. All right. No. Easy enough. Hey, who do you got as a favorite for the Zurich Classic this week, man?
There's a lot of, you know what? I wish I was able to go. There's a lot of big names in there.
They are.
Zurich Classic is hard because of how the format they go. I'm hoping Rory shoots well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Rory McIlroy, dude.
They should be happy that Scotty Scheffler is not in. Scotty Scheffler, his last 10 events, he's won $18 million. His caddies won $1.7. If Tiger Woods did this, we would stop every sporting event. The NBA playoffs would have been canceled. The NHL, because it's Tiger, and he had his red polo.
You know
what? Can we give Scotty Scheffler some love?
What is wrong with you? What I mean,
he's won the Masters. He won the RBC Heritage this morning. He won the Players. He's won four of the last 5 tournaments.
Let me ask you something. If he sends you a brand new shirt, what is it? Sunday Red Sunday or what's his logo?
Yeah,
what's his?
I don't know. IHOP Red Cocktail Waitress Red. I don't know.
You and Tiger, man. You and Tiger. Rafael Esparza.
All he had to do was apologize to me. That's all he had to do.
At VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Take it easy. Have a great rest of the week.
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Today's lead was brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy, also part of Upper Cervical Family Chiropractor, Dr. Josh Roulette. Always good to see the good doctor. Give them a buzz. Go online. Check them out. Mention the show. You get a hookup. Get a little discount, just for saying you know us. We appreciate that. You can give us a call on the Rudiman Can Hotline. 800-998-1003. It is open right now if you'd like to chime in. Our next guest will be Jeff Boggs coming up at 1:45 as we talk a little ESPN bets. He'll give us his takes to the three games going on coming up here in a little bit. Again, hard to believe. We are just not one, not two, not three, but 4 days. Well, 3 days, I guess, away from.
The New Orleans Saints select.
Ooh! Who is it? Or should I say who it better be? Every year, right, there's a different feel or I guess anticipation level going into that draft as to what it is you're going to want and everything. Again, to me, it's going to be an offensive lineman. It better be offensive lineman. It needs to be an offensive lineman. It should be an offensive lineman. Like, I'm more intrigued to see what happens at the top with the quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Who goes 1-2-3 in that aspect of it? Do the Cardinals stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr. and give that to Kyler Murray? Do they trade out of it? Jordan Reed, NFL draft analyst, 6:45 a.m. this morning. He posted the latest ESPN mock draft. He does have Caleb Williams going to the Bears at 1. Washington going with Jaden Daniels. Drake May to the Patriots, even though their GM was just on SportsCenter. I just looked at it. We are open for business. Open for business. May trade down. I don't know. Cardinals going with Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers going with Joe Alt, tackle, Notre Dame. The Giants, many believe, quarterback. They don't go J.J. McCarthy. They go Malik Nabers, receiver. Again, that's what I keep saying. You just paid the legend of Daniel Jones $40 million. Get him some weapons. You don't have Saquon Barkley. I mean, because again, at that point, now, if you could have gotten Jaden, even if you want to tell me you got Drake, or if you're going to get Caleb, fine. But are you that certain that J.J. McCarthy is that much better than Daniel Jones, and you're going to eat that many millions? That's all I'm saying. So they do have the Giants going with Malik Nabers, or Jordan Reed does. Tennessee going with Rome Odunze, the receiver from Washington. Here's a trade. The Falcons don't stay at 8 per him. The Vikings move up and take J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, Michigan. The Bears at 9 take Dallas Turner, who would have been in many, many mock drafts that I see, the pick for Atlanta. Which, again, that doesn't bother me any. It'd be great. Falcons, I don't know if I want them to have Dallas Turner, right? The Jets at 10 go Brock Bowers, tight end. There are the Falcons at 11. They still get an edge rusher. Latu from UCLA. I like him a lot. So they do still get a defensive player. Now, at 12, the Eagles move up. They trade with the Broncos. And they take Terrion Arnold, cornerback from Alabama. At 13, the Raiders go with Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. Which at 14, and here you go, here is another mock draft that has Fashunu, the offensive tackle from Penn State, going to New Orleans. Reed, right. The New Orleans offensive tackle, Ryan Ramczyk's status is unclear. He deals with a knee injury. The development of Trevor Penning has not gone to plan. So without an answer at left tackle, New Orleans taking advantage of potentially historic class at the position makes sense. And an argument can be made that Fashanu is the most consistent pass protector of this group. Though his run blocking must continue to get better, protecting Derek Carr is essential. Fashunu has the potential to be a long-term building block on the line. He's allowed one sack over 21 career starts. Just for you, Uncle Earl, based on that.
Hey, Gates, you are a savior. We yelling black and gold of the Super Bowl.
All right, you don't get the whole song. You just get enough. Just potential of that. I mean, they still got a lot of work to do. But little taste, Uncle Earl. I'm not ready to give you the whole song just yet. But if that pick does happen, you're happy. And again, the main thing is in that write-up, and in other write-ups that you have read about him, consistent starting for seasons, giving up minimal, if not just one sack. Like, these are things I can put on the tape. It's happened. The words project or develop from a small... That's not the case here, and that's not what needs to be the case for New Orleans, my opinion. I need a guy that anyone can go pick up. I'm going to use the Jordan Kleiberg rule of thumb. Go to the YouTube highlights. That's what he used to do, the intern. He would YouTube a guy's name, and he would base, judging on how long the highlight package is and whether or not the person is good or not. So they, whoa, this just happened. The Jets have traded Zach Wilson to the Broncos. How about that? Now, does that tell you maybe where the Broncos could be going? Now, again, that is a huge gamble. But do you think that that means that the Broncos are going to go with him as your starter after Russell Wilson? I mean, they got a vet there. But that is interesting, because does that mean, like, in this situation here, Jordan Reed has them trading out of 12 to the Eagles. So that is a very interesting move for Sean Payton. He has traded for Zach Wilson with the Jets. Waiting to see what the compensation is, but the Jets are sending away Zach Wilson to the Broncos, who has been, I mean, and look, and I'm putting it nicely, it's been a disaster what's going there. So, fresh start, fresh face, maybe somebody that Sean looks at and says, I got some physical talent there. Let's see if I can develop him and do that. I have a hard time believing that Sean envisioned Zach Wilson as the starter. That's all I'm saying. But it is interesting that they have made that trade there from that aspect of it. 800-998-1003, Cajun Goat. What do you have for me today, sir? Hello, Cajun Goat? Cajun Goat?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now.
All right, buddy. That's interesting, the Zach Wilson thing just now. That threw my whole thoughts off on the Pelicans real quick. But didn't that sound like a Sean Payton ego thing, since that little rant they had last year about that coach, that offensive coordinator didn't know what he was doing?
You know what? You're right. Let me show you how to develop a quarterback.
Yes. Doesn't that sound like a Sean Payton-esque thing to do?
I'll tell you what.
I mean, that's crazy, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah, I like it, though. I love all the craziness when it comes to sports.
Mm-hmm.
But, Gus, about the game last night, I tell you what, I'm more encouraged.
Good job.
Than discouraged about it.
All right.
I mean, I think we could have won that game. No ifs, ands, or buts. But I think they have to make more adjustments than we have to make. They have no answer for Jonas Valanciunas. They have no answer for anything going to the goal in the lane. And I didn't realize that. Well, I guess that's why the Lakers beat them so much, because the Lakers is one of the teams that attack the rim the most. I think if Willie Green makes the adjustment when Chet's out of the game,
mm-hmm.
They're really small. They're a small ball lineup. And make an adjustment to play going to the goal, I could see us taking game two very, very easily. I really thought if we hit a few shots in this last game that we kind of were going to blow them out. Because I was very impressed with Trey Murphy's defense towards the end of the game, in the middle of the game, on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's on the swaps.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with Herb on the defensive end. His offense wasn't that great, but I was very impressed on how he slowed those guys down from – And that's the scoring on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal, the Williams kid, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I thought they did tremendous jobs and kind of learning how not to foul and defend them. I mean, they could say, oh, those guys had a bad game. Well, the reason them guys had a bad game was because the guys that were sticking them. Because that was some beautiful defense being played.
Like I said, there's some things that you looked at that game, and I don't know how you can't be encouraged, right? In terms of, like, I can look at that Sunday and Tuesday game and just be like, man, they just don't match up on this, or you don't have anybody there. I mean, I walked in and my wife, like, looks at me and goes, they're not better. I mean, in terms of, like, the talent-wise, in terms of where you can't compete with them, that it comes down to executing. And, again, I keep bringing up that stat, KG and Goat. They were 24 and 14 in clutch games. I think the Pels were 14 and 25 or 23 or something like that. But it's a 10-win difference between the two teams. One's the first seed, one's the eighth seed. It's literally that. It's literally that. Rod Walker, 1-8, and games decided by 3 points or less, the Pelicans. It's literally closing. I mean, and that's the thing. So you have the talent and skill, but the thing that they do have is they do have that defense. And you saw what they were able to do now.
They were able to grab us, Gus, and not get fouls called on them.
Well, I mean,
I saw a lot of that.
That was blatant. I mean, Jonas was getting destroyed.
Lou Dort should have fouled out in the first half.
100%. So, look, and that's the thing that you wish that if you had Zion, because Lou Dort would be on Zion, not on B.I.
Right.
You know, so that's
the
thing.
B.I. was killing the guys whenever Lou Dort wasn't on him.
Yeah, no, and that's the...
Yeah, he was tremendous.
So that's one of the adjustments. How do you free him up? You know? How do you get him?
I think you go, Gus, I really feel like... You remember when we were hitting B.I. coming off of a screen and he just rises up and shoots?
Yeah.
You know, we run that play where he comes and rises up and shoots?
Yep.
Because Lou Dort is so short, that's what I would be doing.
Yeah.
I would have him coming off the screen and rising up and shooting his mid-range.
Okay.
You know, I think you got to play. I know we always say, hey, the reason the Pelicans lose is because they don't shoot enough threes. I think every game is different. I think playing these guys, I think playing the OKC Thunder, I think you need to go to the rack a lot more because they have really and truly, they really don't have rim protection. If you think check and block a few shots, sure. But who else do they have when he's not in the game? And he started getting tired at the end of that game with all the physicality that Jonas was playing on him. You know, the physicality took away towards the end.
Yeah,
all of those guys.
That would be one of my adjustments again. Yep, same thing. I'm driving the lane, man. I'm putting it. And look, and that's why I brought up with Christian Clark the Dyson Daniels thing, where I love Jose. I really do, and I think it's fine. But there were some times he tried to drive in a lane like straight at Chet, and I'm like, what are you doing? But right. Also just guarding, like you saw SGA, he dribbled right to the free throw line and just shot over right. Jose.
Yeah, I love Jose, and I agree with you, Gus. Agree with you.
Give me Dyson Daniels on him. I didn't say for 30 right. minutes. You know, he played three. Give me 7 to 8 with Najee, because like Najee's size made a difference too. I need size on those guys, and I think Dyson can rebound.
Najee was awesome last night.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I'd like to see a little more Dyson, just to kind of throw some different looks at SGA. He's a bigger body to have to try to go around. That's all I mean.
Right. And keep your feet. And that was the difference in it last night. They kept their feet. They didn't go for all the craziness that he likes to do. And that's why they blocked a lot of his shots.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, KG Goat. Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy.
Yep. Hour 2 brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. Go check them out. Jeff Boggs, KNAE, next.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
If you'd like to chime into the conversation, it's Darita McCann. Talk about the New York Jets trading Zach Wilson to the Broncos. It is a late round pick swap, 647, and the Jets will pay some of Wilson's roughly $5.5 million salary. How about that? So Zach Wilson making his way over to Denver. Again, I don't see that as a situation where that's the starter. That's maybe a player you can develop. See if there's anything there. Development-wise, obviously, if you're the Jets, that's not where you're going. That's not your future. That's not anything you're going to do there. Try to get something for nothing. And quite honestly, for him, just try to get a fresh start and do all those different aspects of that and do that. By the way, Matt Ryan has officially retired from the NFL. On his Twitter page, he not only thanks Atlanta and the Falcons, but it's a 3-minute and 12-second video of Dear Atlanta, thank you. So we're still waiting, by the way. I refreshed, and yes, Anthony Davis has yet to thank the city of New Orleans. Not too worried about it anyway, right? 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Jono Barnes on Twitter is doing a reenactment of how NBA officials treat the New Orleans Pelicans. Oh, I'm going to choke. I got to play this. 800-998-1003. I do want to play one quick thing here. We're going to talk a little bit more about this here as well. But one of the things that took place last night was the calls, the physicality of it, especially for Brandon Ingram. Willie Green had this to say.
They have their hands on him, and they're being physical, and he's got to continue to play through it.
The physicality of Dort's going to bring, you know, that's not going to change throughout the whole series. What do you got to do to kind of free B.I. up and make it a little easier on him?
It's not about what we need to do to free B.I. up. This is going to be playoff basketball. He's got to continue to play through it, have some gamesmanship out there, got to go to the free throw line a bit more. This is just what it's going to be. We're physical with them. They're physical with us. And that's a part of the game. That's a part of playoff basketball. Continue to play with force, play with speed, and get quality looks, take care of the ball.
One of the other things, of course, is B.I.'s response to that physicality.
It was definitely more physical. I thought Lou Dort did a good job of keeping his hands on me, being physical, keeping his body on me tonight. And the rest of their guys, just being keyed in on drives, knowing personnel, and disrupting the game.
One of the things as well that I think is an encouraging sign too is Trey Murphy's the only one that was knocking down shots from beyond the arc. He did knock down 5 threes.
For me, I would just say it was just being aggressive, letting the game come to me, and just trying to make the right play. I also played well defensively. I feel like first half I had a few, you know, defensive mistakes, and I tried to make up for it second half.
Throughout the game, it seemed like.
It is a little tough to stomach, though. The last shot attempt was at the 7-minute, 10-second mark. Over 7 to play, that was the last shot attempt of Trey Murphy. Like, that's probably not ideal. It's just in. I don't know if you know that or not. Only guy hitting threes for you. But I thought Christian Clark brought up something interesting, too. Is like, moving forward, that next step for Trey, if he wants that max contract, if he wants to be a building piece, and there are a lot of people that believe this offseason you decide which of those wing players plays best with Zion, and Trey does. The ability to take players off the dribble, add to his game on that. Again, he's still a very young player. Use some of that speed and athleticism, do those things, maybe add that element to his game here as well. But, literally.
Hand it off to McCollum, back to JV, running down the lane, threw it out to Ingram, avoids contact, and then he got it poked away, but it's saved by Herb with 2. With 1, Ingram got to pull up a 3 at the buzzer. No, followed up and in, coming from nowhere, Trey Murphy.
Trey to the rescue.
That's it. Last time you heard from him in the fourth quarter. So, as I asked him, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next hour here as well, do you have to try to, like, purposely get him involved? Run some plays, run some actions on him, especially if Dort's going to be on BI that way. If CJ doesn't have it going that night, he is a guy that's capable of getting you 20 to 30 points and knocking down threes. And I also still think the player on the court that can attack the paint better than anyone else since Zion's gone. I said that against the Kings and even the rest of the series. I'd like to see him attack the paint, go above the rim. Jeff Box from our sister station KNAE joins us. Jeff, we got three games, sir, in action tonight. Thank you, as always, for joining us with ESPN Bet here. So let's get right in on the action. You got the Suns and the T-Wolves tomorrow. Pacers-Bucks tomorrow. Mavericks-Clippers tomorrow. So game twos for them is tomorrow. Tonight, you got the Magic and Cavaliers. That's the first one that tips off at 6 o'clock. What do you see in this one?
All right. Once again,
Magic and Cavaliers.
Gotcha. Again, Orlando, underdog, 5.5 points. The over-under, 203.5. Money line, -210 for Cleveland. Of course, Cleveland took game one. Both teams looking for their first playoff wins or series wins in a long time. Cleveland 2018, Orlando 2010. 97-83 the final in game one. Cavaliers 15-0 when holding opponents under 100 points, and that's been tough to do this year. But the Magic 1-12 all time in game twos on the road. They've lost 9 straight. A couple of things to look at. Cleveland getting off to that strong start. Donovan Mitchell had a great game, averaged a team-high 26.6 points during the regular season, led the Cavs with 30 on Saturday. 27-year-old guard has reached the 30-point mark in two of his four meetings with the Magic. And one of the things you may want to look at for the Magic, Orlando shot just 32.6% from the field in the series opener, but had 5 players reach double figures. Forward Paolo Banchero led the Magic during the regular season with nearly 23 points a game, scored the team-high 24. First overall pick in the NBA draft in 22. He pulled down 7 rebounds, dished out 5 assists. And again, the 22-year-old forward has produced at least 14 points in each of his 5 meetings with the Cavs this season. So a couple of reasons to like either team, but certainly Cleveland at home looking to repeat game one.
All right, Jeff, when you take a look at the other game coming up tonight here as well, what really stands out to you right after that?
Well, let's take a look at the West. The Nuggets look to continue their domination of the Lakers when the two teams meet. 114-103 in game one. Denver's defeated the Lakers in 9 straight games, including the postseason. 9th playoff series between the two. Usually L.A. has dominated those meetings, but tonight Denver again a 7.5-point favorite. The total, 223.5. The money line, -285 for the Nuggets, 230+ for the Lakers. The over, 16-8 across the Lakers' last 24 games. So if you're looking for a reason to bet the over, L.A. Has produced over Denver 8-8 against the spread over its last 16 games. And again, just a couple of things to look at. Denver center, Jokic, unstoppable offensive force thanks to both scoring and playmaking. 32.7 assists to go along with 12 boards in game one. Jokic put up those numbers without turning the ball over once. Shows a lot of efficiency there. And, you know, Anthony Davis, what do you have to say? Two-way force, wants to be the MVP, or not necessarily MVP, but thinks the NBA doesn't like him, and that's why he doesn't get Defensive Player of the Year. But again, he's coming off a great regular season. And if LeBron James can continue to do what he does on that ankle, again, he looks to be a factor in tonight's game. I think the Lakers rebound, I certainly like him to cover.
And then when you look at the Knicks 76ers, it comes down to injuries, huh? I mean, if Embiid and Maxey can't play, I just don't know how this game becomes a series.
Yeah, but Embiid, I thought he was in a decent position to play. He's battled injuries all season, listed as questionable, but he did score 29 points and 8 boards, had 6 assists in game one. Again, the spread here, the Knicks favored by 5.5, over under 204.5, and then the money line -220 going toward the Knicks. Knicks 45-37-1 against the spread this season. Philadelphia 48-36 against the spread this season. So put all that into the mix and make your choice.
All right, I got that. Hey, Jeff, if I want to get involved with little ESPN bet, including a little Major League Baseball here. Got the NBA playoffs as well. How can I get involved, man?
No doubt about it. All the great things going on this time of year. Exclusive sportsbook of ESPN's got it all. Exclusive offers, promotions from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith. Again, the playoff intensity going on. The Lynx, Scotty Scheffler, is he hot? Anyway, sign up today, new users. You get $100 in bonus bets. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. Check out the app for all the details. Must be 21 or older, and if you do have a gambling problem, take care of it. 1-800-522-4700. And remember, in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles.
Thank you, Jeff. As always, man, appreciate the time.
You bet. Take care.
Yep, take care. Hour 2 is in the books. It's brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated. Your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it at all? Give them a call. Or just go check them out online, chrispaving.com. Hour 3, we come back on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.